Okay. So yesterday we started discussing, you know, the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, right? His chiddush of Bias Akum, right? We originally started discussing the Karka Olam implications, and then we moved on to the Bias Akum implications of what he had to say, right? So basically, we're in the middle of discussing, right? And basically, the structure is going to have to see what is the impact, you know, of shita Rabbeinu Tam, of this idea of Bias Akum on different. On different Yisroel, we're going to discuss it's the impact of Bias Akum, Afke Rachman Lazare on the Yisroel Gila Raios, which is the direct context of the Balitosis, right? Gila Raios, Yisroel Boel, Yisroel Labao, and the Yisroel of Soto, like the Kinoi Mistira. So we have to see how, basically, what type of impact, you know, this factor of Bias Akum has in all these contexts, and obviously part of each discussion is what exactly is the nature of the of each of these Yisurim, what is needed to trigger these Yisurim. Sebiya, Mered, we'll get to all the details. Oh, so we started by discussing, right, basically we started reading Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam clearly says that the reason why there is no Yisur Gila Raios, both in the context of Esther, right, despite the fact, right, context of Esther and the context of the Be'ilos Hegmon in Ksubas, Gimel and Vez, is basically because in both those cases the Boel is a Nachri, right? Achashverosh and a Hegmon, and what Rabbeinu Tam says is that because, you know, once the Boel is a Nachri, basically the Torah treats the Rachmana Afkar Elazare, and basically because the Torah broke, basically knocked off basically the Yachas between a Goy and his children, so therefore, right, the chsiv, zirmas susim, zirmasam, therefore there's no Isser of Gila Raios. And the question, right, that Tosis leaves us with, is how do you connect the dots? So we know Bias Akum, zirmas susim, zirmasam, right, Rachmana Afkar Elazari, there's no Yachas between the Goy and his children. The question is, why is that now undermine the Isser of Gila Raios? What's the connection between the lack of Yachas and the lack of Giloy arrives? So we started developing, basically the first approach, we're going to basically develop three approaches in terms of what exactly is the connection between the lack of Yachas and the lack of Giloy arrives. So yesterday, we basically developed the first approach, which again is the one that seems to be most explicit in a number of sources, is to say that the lack of Yachas, again, is a simen to lack of a halachic maisabir. Alright, basically the idea seems to be that the lack of Yachas reflects the fact that a Bias Akum lo shmei bia, with the idea being that, right, children are only misyachas after the father if there is a halachic bia. So if the lack of yachas is indicative, is reflective of the fact that in Bechia Gavna, there, the halacha doesn't view the maisa bia of an akum to have the status of bia. Again, we saw this in the Shittim Mikubetzes, it was implicit in Tosas and Ksubis, and I just saw, again, it's also explicit in the Tosas Rush. In the Tosas Rush, Sota, Chavav, Amid Beis, Dir Maskel Baha Amar of Huna, we'll get back to this later. When I was going through it this morning, I noticed that the way basically the Tosas Rush explicitly characterizes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam in these terms. He says, Bias Goy, the Biaso Kibias Behema, Vlo Mikri Bia. And he adds that in those extra three words, which are missing in our Bali Tosos, when he says, what do we mean when we say Bias Akum is like Kabias Behema? It means that, well, Mikri Bia, you lack the halachic status of a Maisa Bia. Then we basically saw Rav Shechter in Eretz Tzvi, who basically takes this Yisod, that Yachas, basically a prerequisite for Yachas is there being a Maisa Bia in the case of IVF, where you have children without a Maisa Bia, and he basically says, therefore, there were not going to be Yachas in that case.
Yeah. According to this, if a couple had a child through IVF and then had a child normally, then it means the second child would have the status of before the Nephilim?
Well, that would be more of a Bechor issue about Peter Rechem. So, because it could be, the Koveya for these different things could be different. The Koveya for Yachas, it has to be my Sabiha. Peter Rechem has to be the first one to come out.
That's for picking a bed. There's a different.
So I'm not holding the topic, but I can see again. You have to figure out what the koveh for Bechor is.
So it's possible, depending on what it is, could be.
Could be, but again, I could also envision it having a completely different koveh where, So they were even though what? As I said, Peter Rechem. Therefore, even though this is the first, you know, child of the father, it's still not the Peter Rechem of the mother.
Rishis Ono of the basis.
That's kind of that Gemara that we saw. Yeah. So, yeah. Not getting into the Dinam of Bechoros, but basically, as you'll see from this shir, especially, you're going to see that different halachos, different Yisroim, which seem to be connected, right? Papashtos, you know, like when there's an Isser of Gilarayos, that triggers an Isser Labal, and the Isser Labal, and related to that is the Isser Sota. So, at first glance, you say, oh, you know, group all these dinim, all these different Yisroim together, seemingly like they have one koveya. We went to see in this year especially that Yisroim, which seem to be, you know, connected, can be really, you know, have different koveya, right? And the koveya for one can be very different than the koveya for the other. So in that light, you know, Bechor, which can have a very different koveya than the general din of Yachas. Fine. Oh, basis approach number...
I'm understanding that Yosef could yes, the Hingma Bo Mikagil.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from the context of for the Isser, yes, Behema, basically, we see that there is some sort of concept of a yes, Behema. So he's just saying,
from the perspective of Arias.
Also not a Behema, but, alright. No, Arias, the Gamma Sabia.
I mean, they're saying, they're just like talking about Pokemon, we saw that there could be different, you know, Gedder of Bia for different halachos. So, at least in the realm of Gila Arayos, this is not, doesn't have a Shane Bia. Okay, fine. So that's the first approach. Right? The first approach is that the lack of, right, the way to understand the Rabbeinu Tam is that the lack of Yachas is a simon to the lack of a Maisa Bia. So I'd like to now suggest two alternatives to understanding Rabbeinu Tam, especially in light of the fact that, right, for sure, Aratosis basically makes no reference to this, the first approach, right, that the lack of Yachas is reflective of the lack of Maisa Bia. It seems to focus just on the lack of Yachas, so are they basically open to, say, alternative interpretations of Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So approach number two is to say that the lack of Yachas is similarly a simon, but in contrast to approach number one, where it was a simon to the lack of Maisa Bia, perhaps, right, approach number two is going to say, no, maybe it's a simon to the fact that their Maisa Bia is not misyaches to the Boa. According to approach number two, there is a Maisa Bia, right, Bias Akum Shmei Bia, but that Maisa Bia is not misyaches to the Akum. And according to this, the idea is that the lack of Yachas, right, the only time a child is misyaches after his father, is when the Maisa Bia is misyaches to the father. And therefore, in this case, the lack of Yachas is indicative that the Maisa Bia at hand is not misyaches to the Boel of the Nachar. And we'll get back to this idea later. And again, the Svara behind here is that, right, we'll get to this Yisod in a second, a number of times throughout this year, is that the Koveya, you know, for Gila Arayos is specifically, you know, when there's a competition, or basically, you know, Gila Arayos is basically saying, you're not allowed to have, you know, all the bios of an Eishes Ish have to be with her husband. And the idea of a Arayos is when, basically, she cheats on her husband and she has, basically, poses a competition to her husband. So it could be that the way, the Gedder of Gila Arayos is only when the Maisa Bia is specifically Mizyaches to a competing person. So according to the second approach, even though there was a Maisa Bia, there was a Maisa Bia outside the context of her marriage, but according to this approach, the only time the Isser of Gila Arayos is going to be violated is not just when there's a Maisa Bia outside the context of her marriage, but when there's a Maisa Bia outside the context of her marriage, which is specifically misyaches to another person. Because the idea is the Koveya for Gila Arayos is specifically the competition between the husband and another person.
She mishamish bimoch or something, there would be no zera, then would that be a problematic? Meaning, because it's not misyaches then, because there was no zera that actually went into her.
No. Who says the koveya for that is the zera?
Oh, you're saying literally zimra
susim zimra susim, but the koveya is not, it's not the zera. Remember, even if you have the moch, that's not gonna impact. I mean, there's a maisa bia. Presumably, you know.
See, if the halacha is not on the maisa bia itself, it's on the misyaches. There's no misyaches and nothing goes in.
We're assuming that that factor is not gonna be the koveya for the achas. Meaning, a factor of zirma susim zirmasa might break the zirma, but generally, with a yisrael at least, the person with whom she has a maisa bia physically is going to be the koveya. I would assume. I've never seen that idea. Fine. Just the third approach, and then we'll come back. Right. So, first approach is that, right, the lack of yachas is a simon to the lack of maisa bia. Approach number two is that the lack of yachas is a simon to the fact that the maisa bia is not misyaches to the boel. So, the third approach is that the lack of yachas is a siba. It's not a simon to anything, but it's a factor in of itself, in the sense that what? That, basically, perhaps the machayev of Gila Arayos is when you have basically a bia which has potential to generate children, which will be misyaches to another person. That, we were saying before, this idea of the competition, is that, we'll develop this in a second, why marriage would be defined by the children, but perhaps, actually we'll say it right now. Right, this assumes, again, this approach that my father has developed in different contexts, where there's a lot of evidence that Puruvu is intrinsically connected to Nisuin. Where it's not just, oh, there's a mitzvah of Nisuin, there's a mitzvah of Puruvu, but rather it could be part of the gether of Nisuin itself is to facilitate Puruvu. So if you take such an approach to marriage, that Puruvu is part of the gether of Nisuin, so it could be that the Gila Rayos, which is the ultimate breach of Nisuin, is when you have a bia with someone else which has the capacity to be misyachesh, the children, to someone else. And therefore, according to this approach, once emo yachas, so that as a simba undermines, Gila Rayos. It's not that, oh, it's a simba, it's the lack of bia or the lack of yachas between the maisa bia and the gbol. It's that the koveya, the mechayev of Gila Rayos, is having a bia which could generate children would be misyachas to someone else. And therefore, once you're dealing with the realm of an akum whose children will not be misyachas to him, so therefore that directly undermines the mechayev of Gila Rayos. So again, according to this approach, the ein lo yachas fact is a direct, siba factor, because basically it undermines the mechayev, which is basically having a bia, which potentially, generate children, which are not being misyaches to the husband. And in this case, of akum, where there is no such potential, that is going to undermine the iser of gila rayos.
I mean, how far does this even go into all that? I mean, is that like situations where there can't be children for various reasons?
Yeah. And again, this is where you have to draw the line in terms of people who are like mufka. I mean, and it could be specifically someone like a guy who is, categorically is mufka from having, children being misyachis to him, not just like a technical, physical, like idleness or the male form, or saris, something like that.
But a guy really isn't categorically taken away from having children misyachis to him. It's only when he has to be with a Jew.
From the perspective of Gila Rayos. That's what we're saying. Someone, if Mechayev of Gila Rayos is specifically having a bia, which is potential to, children with someone else, so therefore, from that perspective, a goy is mufka. Okay, fine. Oh. So basically, Adkan, right, is understanding, let's say, in the first Isser I play, which is the Isser of Gila Rayos, right? So that's the direct context of the Bali Tosas are discussing why there's no Isser of Gila Rayos, Mechayev Yehar Bayavor, in the case of Esther, and in the case of the Hegmon, and Ksubas Hal Gimel and Beis. So now, moving on to the Isser Lebon. Right, and this comes up in the discussion of Rabbeinu Tam, based on Rabbeinu Tam's extension. Right? Rabbeinu Tam makes his own extension of his Yisod. He says, not only, based on the basis of my Yisod, the Bias Akum does not generate an Isser of Arayos, therefore, Rabbeinu Tam extends that to this famous case of the Bon, where we have a case where an Isha was Mezana with an Akum, and then basically, she was Chozeres Betshuva, and then her Boel was also Megayer. And the question is, can she now basically marry that original Boel Akum? Basically, the question is, does the Bias Akum also undermine the Isser Laboel? Is there an Isser Laboel to an Akum, which only has an Afkamina, because it's always Usser to marry an Akum, only that has an Akum is when that Akum ends up converting. Now the question is, so now that there's no longer an Isser Akum, does that original Isser Boel carry over? So Rabbeinu Tam says, l'shitasi.
So you just said it again,
please. Basically, let's read it inside. Basically, Rabbeinu Tam, after suggesting his idea of Bias Akum, basically, because the Rachmana Afkei Lazare, Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, Bias Akum is not subject to Gula Rayos. Rabbeinu Tam says, on the same basis of my Yisod, the Bias Akum is also not subject to the Isser Labon. And therefore, in this case, where the Boa is an Akum, not only will that, Bia with the Akum not generate the Isser of Gila Rayos to be subject to your Har Vayavor, it also won't trigger a Isser Labal. Generally, when an Isha is Mizana, there's an Isser Labal and an Isser Labal. So, but in such a case where the Boa is an Akum, the Isser Labal does not apply to an Akum, which would have an afkamina in the case where that Akum ends up converting. This is what Rabbeinu Tam says. Anyone want to read the Maisa? He says, Mito kach haya rotz Rabbeinu Tam lahatir. Ariel, you want to go for it? Right after he quotes Yivamos Tzadikas.
Yeah.
מתוך כך היה רוצה רבן מותם להתיר בת ישראל שמירה ובא עליה עובד כוכבים ושוב נתגייר עמה.
דקיימה
ביהדות. ולא שייך לממר אחד בועל בביאת עובד כוכבים, דאביה כביאת בהמה.
So Rabin, right? So Rabin Tam explicitly extends his yisod of Bias Akum to the realm of Isser L'Boel to say that there's no Isser L'Boel in such a case. So in order to understand how you carry over Rabin Tam's yisod of, you know, Afke Rachman Lazare to the Isser L'Boel, right? It's basically it will be impacted by our three approaches before. So just, you know, quickly, you know, summarize basically how to understand how Rabbeinu Tam's Yisod is going to impact the Isser L'Boel. So the first way to understand it is that there's really an indirect, you know, connection between the Yisod of Bias Akum of Avkei Rachmana Lazare and the Isser L'Boel. And really, according to this first approach, we're saying that it all comes through Gilarayos. Namely, the factor of Avkei Rachmana Lazare impacts Gilarayos, undermines the Isser of Gilarayos, and once there's no Isser of Gilarayos, then there's no Isser L'Boel. And basically, right, according to this verse, there doesn't have to be a direct impact between, let's say, the factor of Afkir Rachman Lazare, of Ein Lo Yachas, you know, to Isser L'Boel. It's just that Ein Lo Yachas directly impacts the factor of Gilarayos. And the idea is that once there's no Isser Gilarayos, then there's no Isser L'Boel. And according to this first approach, there's no direct connection between the factor of Ein Lo Yachas and Isser L'Boel. It's just all coming through Gilarayos. The second approach is that, no, perhaps you can suggest that there's direct impact. In the same way, or in a similar way, that the factor of Ein Lo Yachas undermines Gilarayos, it also directly undermines the Isser L'Boel. In order to say this, you now have to go through each of the three approaches and explain it as follows. Right? According to this first approach, I would say, that just like when there's no halachic bia, there's no Gilarayos, similarly, the lack of a ma'isa bia undermines the Isser L'Boel, as if to say the only time the Isser L'Boel is triggered is by a halachic bia. And again, if there's no halachic bia, then there's no Isser L'Boel. Oh. According to the second approach, where all the lack of yachas is all about, you know, breaking the tziruv between the boel and the bia. So you can say similarly, the same, right? Ein Lo Yachas, you know, basically it breaks the tziruv between the boel and the bia. So it could be that just like Gilarayos, right, requires the bia to be specifically connected to the specific boel in order for that to be a competition with the marriage to trigger Gilarayos, perhaps that's also what's going on of the Isser L'Boel. The Isser L'Boel specifically refers to that individual who is identified as the baal habia, right, the person to whom the bia is miyuchas. I'm going to get back to this in a second. We get to the garishness guy or idea. So if you think, alright, so according to this, you can again explain the direct impact of the Ein Lo Yachas to the Isser L'Boel, because the Isser L'Boel is predicated on that boel being defined as the person to whom the bia is connected, as mitzuraf, and therefore once you break that tziruf, the Isser L'Boel will not apply. Now then, according to the approach number, the third option, third approach above, you say similarly, the only person to whom the Isser L'Boel is triggered is the person who represents that competition, the person to whom could have basically the alternative person who could have basically children with the wife outside of the marriage. So it could be that once Ein Lo Yachas, once this individual will not be connected to those children, therefore he's no longer viewed as that boel who basically, you know, represents that competition to the marriage, that person who represents the competition through having the potential of having children outside of the marriage. So again, there's two different ways of explaining how Rabbeinu Tam's Yisod of Ein Lo Yachas basically goes beyond the realm of Gilarayos to also impact the Isser L'Boel. So it's either indirect, that basically through undermining, once it undermines the Gilarayos, once there's no Gilarayos, then there's no Isser L'Boel. Or you say, no, there's a direct impact of Ein Lo Yachas, not only on the Isser Gilarayos, but it also directly undermines the Isser L'Boel, based on, you know, these different explanations of the Isser L'Boel either needing a halachic bia, needing the specific connection to the boel, to the bia, or you need the boel to, you know, the boel who has the potential of having children to be, you know, basically you need the boel to be a person who had the potential to have children. And therefore, once he's not, this particular bo'el, because he's an akum, will not have connection to his children, therefore he doesn't represent that competition to the marriage, which the issur of the bo'el is also founded upon.
Even if we say that the children won't be miyachis to him, it's still, like, it still seems to be that if the entire point of the marriage that was supposed to be mekayem puru v'ruah with, that the woman should be mekayem puru v'ruah with the baal, then even though the children aren't necessarily miyachis to this third party, but still she's having children outside of the marriage. So, why exactly would that not be as problematic?
Yeah, but it's totally not mutter, but in terms of the, you know, but it could be that the koveya for the iser, I guess you can ask this about the gil ra'as also, but the koveya for the iser gil ra'as, and perhaps the koveya also for the bo'el, is only when it represents, you know, a competition. And we're going to see this in a moment. We're going to see a shita which says that, you know, a guy, you know, cannot, you know, be subject to the iser le'bo'el, because since the guy is already asura to the isha, you know, it's like a form of iser chal iser. Exactly. So the question is, like, who cares that he's already asura or usur? Who cares that he's already usur? Okay, so now there's an issur le'bo'el. So we'll get back to this in a moment, but it could be, meaning, the only person who, you know, who basically functions as a competition is someone who, if not for the husband, could have been a potential partner. But once he's mufka, being a guy, so again, even though in that case, you're right, she's not supposed to be with him, but again, in order to, you know, if the kovei is this competition idea, so perhaps in order to, you know, to trigger these yisurim, which are based on competition, you need someone who is a full competitor. And basically, then the question we're showing is that, how do you define that competition? Maybe according to Rabbeinu Tam, you know, it's simply, you know, the person who either can have children or the person to whom the, you know, the bia is misyachis. The different ways to draw the line.
They're showing the third approach.
Yeah, well, we'll get to there. Yeah, I don't want to jump in. So basically, Adkan is basically Rabbeinu. So basically, Rabbeinu Tam basically justified his psak to allow this isha to marry the bo'al akum, who later converted, based on his idea of afke rachmana lazar. We're seeing the Rishonim. There are other Rishonim who reject Rabbeinu Tam's idea of bias akum, of zirma zusim zirmasam, but say your psak Rabbeinu Tam happens to be true, but v'lav mitanech, but for other reasons. So there are two alternative reasons offered in Rishonim as to why you could be matir the isha marrying this converted bo'al. Again, not based on zero system, zero muslim, but rather based on alternative etira. So we'll go through those quickly. So one alternative that's quoted in both the Ritzvah and Ksubis, right, Gimel Beis, B'Shem, Rabbeinu Yechiel, and is quoted in the Tosfos Rosh and Sota Chavav Amud Beis, and that is the factor of Ger Shneskayer Kikatan Shino Adami. They basically say, right, if you think about the case is where the guy, right, when he was a guy, was the bo'el, but then he converts, right? So in contrast, Rabbeinu Tam says, "Oh, just, you know, the fact that it was that the bia took place when he was an akum, because it was bias akum, that's why that doesn't trigger, doesn't generate an iser leboel." According to this alternative approach, is that no, in a chanami there was theoretically an iser leboel, but once he converts, gerish nizgayer kikatan shino adam, it basically dictates that iser leboel falls away. So again, he no longer has a connection to that issur le'bo'el, which theoretically applied to him when he was a guy. So again, they're going to say, I'm rejecting your yesod of bias akum, of zirma susim zirmasim, of afki rachman lazare, but I can still justify the psak of heter in your case based on the factor of gerish nizgayer, kikatan shino adami. So just to analyze for 2 minutes, you know, this application of gerish nizgayer, kikatan shino adami. So number one, I had you guys see this Griz in Bechoros. Right, so the Griz in Bechoros points out, as develops this yisod based on a number of rayos, that while you could have assumed that gerish nizgayer kikatan shino adami basically dictates that basically when a guy converts to become a Jew, he loses his status of a ger, and therefore any dinim which pertain to him based on his previous guy status fall away, and it would impact all halachos pertaining to his status of a guy. But he proves based on a number of makoros that no, the din of gerish nizgayer Kikatan Shino Adami is more limited than that. And it only applies, namely, the only dinim which are impacted by this klal of Gerish Nizgayer are only those dinim regarding which there is a significant nafkamina between whether he is a guy and whether he is Israel. So there were, if there was a realm of halacha where the dinim between being a Yisrael and a goy are the same, so then if, so there are certain dinim pertaining to him as a goy, even though he lost that same goy, those dinim will still carry over. And it's only regarding those halachas where the shame goy versus shame Yisrael have a tremendous impact, let's say in the context of, let's say, of Yerusha or Arayos, where there's a completely different sets of halachos for goyim or Yisraelim regarding the dinim of Yerusha and Yerusha and Arayos. So regarding these halachos, that's where we apply to say, therefore, he is that once you have this new identity, all those old dinim no longer apply. So, in line of that, Alara, in order to apply that here, you would, assuming like the Grizz, you'd have to say that the dinim regarding a Boel are completely different between a Goy and a Yisrael. And in fact, if you look very closely, and just notice this morning, when the Ritzva is trying to justify, right, his application of Gerish Neskai Katan Shnol Adami, he has an introduction. And the introduction seems to really focus on this yisod of trying to differentiate between the dinim of a Boel, whether that Boel is a Ger, is a Goy, or a Yisod, which I think works out very nicely with this yisod of the Grizz, that the Grizz is specifically introducing the application of Gerish Neskai by saying that, oh, the reason why it applies is because the dinim pertaining to a Boel who is a Goy is very different than the dinim applying to a Boel who is a Yisod. So just to look at the Lashon of the Ritzvah inside, he says as follows. Because at the time of the Bia, he was a guy. At that point, you can't apply the din of Isser Labal. I think he's saying because there's already an Isser, because just by dint of the fact that he is a guy, there's already an Isser to her. It's like an in Isser Chala Isser. Therefore, Hashtanami lo mitzra ale to Gershon Eskaya Katan Shinol Adami. So again, in order to invoke the klal of Gershon Eskaya Katan Shinol Adami, why? I mean, seemingly you don't need that introduction. Just say, meaning, there was an Isser Labal, and now it doesn't exist because he's Gerish Niskayer. Basically, all dinim pertaining to his previous status of a goy fall away. But it could be that what the Ritzvah is trying to say is that because the dinim of a Boel goy are different than the dinim of a Boel Yisrael, namely, a Boel goy, the reason why he's usher to this Isha is not because of her Isser Ishis Ish, it's because just the fact that he's a goy. The reason why a Boel Yisrael is ushered to her is only because of her status in Eishes Ish. That because the dinim are completely different for a Boel Goy and a Boel Yisrael, that's why you can apply the din of Gerish Niskayer Katan Shnol Adami. Yeah.
But it's interesting because once he already has the Hakadomi, he almost doesn't need the Gerish Niskayer,
yeah.
Right? Unless you're going to say that like the Issel Boel is only the Nitlet and waiting to be Chal counts once he becomes a Yisrael.
We're going to get to that. But in Tosa Rush, if you look very carefully, seems to offer these as two distinct answers. Which I think exactly what you're saying is going to say Gerish Niskayer. And number two, the Issel Boel doesn't apply because he's already Usher Tar. I think in contrast, in stark contrast to Tosa Rush, I think the Ritzvah seems to, you know, put these two together, and I think it would make sense in light of this Grizz. But he's using one as a simon, you know, to explain that the dinim of a Boel are different, which is therefore to justify Gerish Niskayer.
Right, and apparently he thinks that the idea of the sort of Boel is not necessarily totally in pre-war B'Shas Ma'is and Bia, it's a question of pre-war now.
Exactly. And therefore it'll be Chal later.
Right.
Exactly. So one other aura in terms of the application of Gerish Niskayer is the question of, if you think about it, Gerish Niskayer is normally applied, right, regarding dinim, you know, pertaining to yachas and kurva, like who are you related to? At first glance, this application of Gerish Niskayer seems very strange. You know, presumably, the Isser Boel is based on the fact that you were the person, you know, you performed that ma'aseh bia. That's like, you know, din de begufa, meaning, you were the person who performed that physical ma'aseh bia, so now you have a din which applies to you. So how will the din of Gerish Niskayer, which is generally, you know, pertains in the realm of relationships, you know, be at work here? But based on something we just developed before, you can explain. Right? If the whole yisod of the Isser Boel is, right, is the person who's defined as, you know, the marriage breaker, right? It's like the identity of the person who destroyed this marriage. So then it could be that's all based on the identity. And if once then comes along Gershness Gaia Kotan Shinodam and say that you are no longer that person. Right? So the question is, what's the connection between Gershness Gaia, which is all that identity, and the Dinam of Boel, which seems to be basically, oh, you're just, you know, the person who, you know, performed this Maisabia. The answer is now, even the Isra of Boel, as you were saying before, is about the person who is identified as the person who destroyed this marriage. And therefore, in the case where you basically attain a new identity, you are now Kikatan Shinola Dami, therefore you are no longer the person who destroyed the marriage, and therefore this application of Gersh and Sky Kikatan Shinola Dami does actually make sense.
Do you want the Rifa needed to say Gersh and Sky?
What?
I'm saying this beginning of what you said.
Two haras here. Number one is the fact that the Ritzva, you know, needs to differentiate between the Dinam of a Boel Yisrael and a Boel Goy in order to, you know, to justify the application of Gersh and Skyer. That's basically, we're saying that it's aligning with the Gris, who is basically says that the din of Gershon Sky Katan Shalodami is limited to situations, to realms of Halacha, where the din of a Goy and Yisrael are different. That's our number one.
Then why doesn't he acknowledge
you? Our number two is just, you know, take a step back. Why is Gershon Sky Katan Shalodami, which is generally all about relationships, the realm of Arayos, you know, who you're related to, why is that relevant to begin with? Meaning, okay, granted, the din of Boel are different for Goy and Yisrael. Forget that. Just, well, how does this relate to the normal, you know, application of Gersh Geyer in, you know, relationship context? We're saying, oh, perhaps you can suggest, like we said before, that even the Isser LeBoel is a din relationship. It's about the identity of the person as being identified as the person who undermined this marriage. And therefore, Gikatan Shinola Dami says, no, you're a new person. You're no longer identified as that old, you know, as your old self, as the person who undermined your marriage. You're a new person. Once you're no longer that person, that therefore, you know, the din doesn't apply. And it could be, again, the Rabbeinu Tam, who doesn't apply Gershon's guy, Kikatan Shinola Dami, right? He seems to imply that the only way to justify this halacha is based on his yisod. It could be that he argues and says the reason why, you know, the din of Gershon's guy, Kikatan Shinola Dami is not applicable is because to him, you know, the Isra Labo is, you know, whoever was the person who physically performed that Maisabiyah, that's the person to whom the Isra Labo applies. So it doesn't matter whether you were a different person. At the end of the day, you physically were, you know, the Boel. That's, you know, to you, is the person to whom the Isra Labo is going to apply. So it could be the Machokes or Beinu Tam and the Yerushalayim as to whether you, basically, whether this Klal Kikatan Shinola Dami is applicable could be based on this yisod of how would you understand the Isra Labo? Is it just the person who physically performed the Maisa Bia? It's like, you know, didn't Shibagufa? Or no, it's the person who was identified, who's continually misyaches with it. Fine. And then so alternative number one to Rabbeinu Tam, in order to justify the Psak, is Kikatan Shinola Dami. So the second one, is we've sort of like referenced before, is this idea of, well, you know, like it was like a form of like in Isser Chal Isser. Right, basically, Tosa Rush in his first day of there, and in the second day he invokes his Klal Kikatan Shinola Dami. This first day says no, the Isser Labal only applies to individuals to whom the Isha was only a Asura to based on the marriage, but a guy to whom she is Asura, even outside of her Ish relationship, is not going to be subject to the Isser Labal. That's the way Tosa Rush's first day. That's hinted to before. The yisod here can be based on this competition that we've been discussing before. That the yisod of the Isser LeBoel is the person who poses as the competition to the marriage. But a person can only pose a competition to the marriage if they're in, you know, the realm of being married to her. Again, so he picked, you know, her husband, but he could have picked this person, so now that person poses a competition. But if a goy is totally mufka from the realm of Jewish marriage, so therefore, perhaps that's why, since he's already mufka, that's why he can't, you know, be subject to the Isser Arayos and to the Isser Boel, because he, you know, can't function as that competitor.
I mean, presumably you could also explain it like a way Chotin Iskar type of thing, right? You know, you don't want this guy to be able to marry
her. Oh, I mean,
he's already also, then
okay,
you need to apply that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing. It sounds like much more fundamental, but could be. Oh. Okay, so Akon, we discussed, right, the application of Bias Akum to Gil Arayos and to Rabbeinu Tam's extension to the realm of Isser Laba. But the third realm we have to discuss is now the Isser Laba.
And so you said that you explained the first answer to the Rosh that it's all about competition in terms of marriage, that if you can't marry him anyway, then that means that the ball wouldn't apply to a family member either.
Yeah, according to this, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Because his lashon is in, it doesn't apply to anybody to whom, right, she's already a surah, even without, you know, the marriage. So that would for sure apply. So now moving on to the Isser Labam. So why are we bringing this up? This comes up because it's very important. And when the Rivam is trying to disprove Rabbeinu Tam's Yesod about Bias Akum, all his rayos are from Isser Labam. He says, well, look, you know, right, number of rayos, the Ksuba's Gimel Beis when it comes to the Ikka Prutzos, right, the assumption of the Gemara there is that if the Isha is Prutza and if she's Novellas to the Hegmon Beratzon, then there's going to trigger an Isser Labal, and there are other contexts, or Esther, you know, Kasher Avadati Avadati, where even though she's busy marrying, having Bia with a guy, it triggers an Isser Labal. You know, he has many rayos that, right, despite Rabbeinu Tam's Yesod, they're Bias Akum still triggers an Isser Labal. And Rivam assumes that, oh, once we see that Bias Akum triggers an Isser Labal, so Mestamah also triggers an Isser Labal. Right? Abdi says everything, he says, but who had in Labal? Once you see an Isser Labal, who had in Isser Labal, there should be an equation between both of these Isra. So then, very important to note, that, you know, in order to defend Rabbeinu Tam, so the Shita Mikubetzes, the same one we saw yesterday, in Ksuba's Gimel Beis, the Rambam's called Ivra, basically famously defends Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, Yeshu Chalik, Shna Vishna, basically, Eino Dome, the Isser Labal, to the Isser Labal. And even though you're right, from all those rayas, the Bias Akum can trigger an Isser Labal, but it doesn't necessarily trigger an Isser Labal, and therefore all your rayas fall away because you assume this equation between Isser Labal and Isser Labal. Not true. But what the Shita doesn't offer us is, so what is the reason to be Mechalik? I'll ask the question the strongest way. For sure, according to approach number one, that the reason why Bias Akum doesn't trigger Gila Rayas and doesn't trigger, you know, the Isser Labal is because there's no Bia, there's no Maisa Bia. So once there's no Maisa Bia, so why wouldn't the lack of Maisa Bia also impact the Isser Labal? The Pashtus, the only time the Isser Labal is triggered is when the Isha, as an Eishes Ish, has Bia with someone else. But once you're saying Bias Akum Lo Shnei Bia, so why in the world, how in the world can you trigger an Isser Labal without a Maisa Bia? So this brings us, actually Rav Shechter in that same piece in Eretz HaTzvi, basically answers the question by saying, oh, the koveya for the Isser Labal is not a technical Maisa Bia. The way he phrases it, you can phrase it in different ways, but he says, even if something is not defined as technically as Maisa Bia, as long as she's involved in a Maisa Ishus with someone else, that's what he calls it, that's going to trigger an Isser Labal. And therefore he says, Bias Akum, again, even though it's not a technical Maisa Bia, Halacha doesn't view it as a Maisa Bia, it's still a Maisa Ishus. In other terms, you can basically say the Koveya for the Isser Labal is a certain merit, is a certain rebellion against the husband. And therefore, even if, again, it's not technically a Maisa Bia, as long as it, you know, constitutes a merit against the husband, end of the day, she is physically being Boa in Akum, so that's a merit against the husband, that's going to trigger the Isser Labal. And again, a raya that we're going to see, that there's evidence that, you know, even her bia with a person who only has an Iver Hamis, right? Because there's a lack of kishoy. There's a lot of evidence that the lack, when there's no kishoy, it doesn't have halachic bia. It doesn't have a shame bia. If the boel doesn't have kishoy. But yet there's evidence that even though mishamish be'ever ames, even though there's no isra of gila arayos in the context of mishamish be'ever ames, there still is an isra labal. Again, you have this yisod that despite the lack of a maisa bia, the koveya for the isra labal is called the maisa ishas or the merit shabo, and therefore merit can be triggered even in situations where you do not have a technical maisa bia. So I'd like to now spend a couple minutes going through a number of Makoros where you see this Yisod, that the Koveya of the Isser Labal is the merit. Again, and in a totally different, you know, applications. It's not lafuke necessarily maisabia, but it's coming in different contexts. But again, it's a similar yusod that the koveya for the iser is the merit against your husband, and therefore, again, we'll see it applied in different contexts. But again, you can take that same yusod that the koveya of the iser labal is the merit to even apply it in our context to say, therefore, b'chiyah gavna, even though there's no technical maisabia, since the koveya of the iser is a merit, you can still justify the iser labal.
Why should, how could Shirosh Ruta Ibrahim be considered a merit? Why would that be?
I'm saying because you're still having a physical type of relationship with someone other than your husband.
That's what
you said,
is it?
No. Mishamish Be'iver is just the Lafuke Kisha. Yeah, well, sorry.
But he's actually playing dead.
That's something else. I apologize. Like, sometimes you try not to define certain things. So I'm just making an assumption that everyone knew what I was referring to, but that was objectively unclear, and I apologize. The Iver Hames, it's an Iver which is lapsed Kishur. There's no Maisabiyah, but there is still some type of merit. It's not going through some of these, like, some of these are famous Mikoros, these are the following Chuvos, which relate to this idea of the Koveya of the Isra Labal being the merit. So the famous one, the really famous one, is the Tshuva of the Marik. Right, so the Marik is discussing a case where of an Isha who is basically cheats on her husband, but she claims that she didn't know that it was Asura. She didn't know that it was Asura to cheat on your husband. So the Marik basically says, so the way the Marik, you know, analyzes it conceptually, he says, oh, so basically, in terms of the Isser, in terms of the rebellion against Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he says, but since the koveya of the Issa of the Baal is not the merit keneged Hashem, but it's rather keneged the Baal, therefore, even though on a theological level, on an Avera level, you were shogeg, since you're amazed on the, in terms of the perspective of your merit against your husband, that's enough to trigger the Issa of the Baal. So again, this is the first famous application of this yisod, that the koveya for the Issa of the Baal is the ni'ila, is in the Lashon of the Marik, against the husband. You want to just read this quickly? You have the sheet? Is it page 2?
Yeah.
Shulam
Marik?
Yeah.
V'asher sha'al maharavil yitzav v'isha shazanta tachat ba'ala b'latzon v'hi lo yada'a im yesh yisur v'davar im yichashev shogeg ad kal lishono.
So that's the case, right? She's b'ratzon, cheated on her husband, but she was shogeg from the perspective of the iser.
L'aniu da'ati נראה ואין לזו דין שוגגת להתירה לבעלה כיוון שהיא מכוונת למעול מעל באישה ומזנה תחתיה ודהה לא כתיב איש איש כי תספה אשתו מעליו ומעל בהשם ולשתמע דווקא מכוונת לאיסר אלא לייסר אלא ומעלה בו מעל כתיב.
Rish Ma'is Bechidish, Marik is making on Joshua. He's saying, oh, Medayik in the Psukim, which is a controversial issue in terms of Rishonim, right? He's basically making his own Diyak in the Pasuk, right? It doesn't say Ma'al Ba'ashem, but rather Ma'al Ba. And therefore he's Medayik in the Psukim, that the Koveya of the Iser Labal is the merit against your husband. Again, this Yisur. And again, this Marik is passing the Halacha, and everyone after the Marik really...
Yeah.
Exactly, accepts the Marik, and the question is, you know, where do you apply it? But everyone agrees to this yusod that the koveya, the nature of the Isra Labal, is based on the merit. But the interesting thing, and I don't have it here, is that Marik utilizes this yusod in a very wild application to explain, you know, the case of Esther, right? Where the Gemara says, Kasher Avadati Avadati, that she says that, oh, that when she goes, you know, Beratzon to Achashverosh, she now will become a surah to her husband. So the big question is, and so basically the way Marek says, even though, and the question is, what do you mean? She's doing this, Kidei Lahatzil, exactly, she's trying to say, tell us, Klal Yisrael. So Marek says, doesn't matter. Since, in the end of the day, it's a merit against her husband, that's Kobea, the Isra, even though from the perspective of Kodesh Baruch Hu, where it was probably a mitzvah for Atalas Klal Yisrael, even so, it's a merit against her husband.
New.
Oh, so the big kasha on the Marik, and this is the Binyan Tzion points out, is, what do you mean? Shh. What do you say?
Mechila.
Basically, Mordechai is the one who's encouraging her to do this. how can you claim that it's a merit against her husband if Mordechai is the one, you know, suggesting her to do this? So again, on this basis, we'll get to the Binyan Tzion, the Aruch Lener, in just a moment, and I think he basically rejects this application of the Ma'arik Sisod. But it seems like the Ma'arik thinks that even though Mordechai said that she should do it, it was still a merit, you can say, against the institution of marriage. And perhaps, you know, to give a mashal, when Mordechai was suggesting her to do it, he was wearing his Gadol Hador hat. He wasn't wearing his husband hat. But from the perspective of a husband, in the end of the day, being Nivellus Baratzom to anybody else is a merit against your husband. It could be, that's the way Ma'arik views it. Again, the Binyan Tzion argues and says, you know, in that case, that clearly wasn't a merit against Mordechai. But in order to explain why, you know, Ma'arik, you know, applies his yisod of merit against the Baal, even in the context of Mordechai, is one way to suggest, and that even though Mordechai was suggesting it, no, he was wearing his, you know, his Gadol Ador hat and not his husband hat.
I mean, the Baal was kind of merit, Ones Pachat Misa, was very foolish.
100%. No, for sure.
Parallel, right? The merit of Hashem is taken away by Ones Pachat Misa.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Ah. So just a, so the Binyan Tzion, and a very tragic question, and it's very long, it's a whole Misa. There's a very, very tragic, you know, episode of the Binyan Tzion I discusses. This is Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, Gadol Dor in Germany, generation before Hirsch. Right, the Binyan Tzion has this Maisa. Wait, what? You don't want to recount the Maisa that he discusses? There's an imposter.
Yeah.
Who basically convinced an Ishish, to be Mazana with him on the basis of what?
That he's a Leon Navi and she'll bring the Mashiach.
Exactly. So it's a very sad situation. He describes her as an Isha Tznua, right? But yet, you know, she thought she was, you know, facilitating the, you know, the coming of Mashiach.
Maybe this is like the story of Spot.
Okay. So right, so either way, so it has a very tragic episode where, you know, this imposter basically, you know, convinced this Isha Snua, who was a very religious, pious lady, to be Mizana with him, right, in the hopes to, you know, beget, you know, Mashiach. And basically tragically, you know, the test, I don't know if you open up the box, you know, after I leave, which is always, you know, should, you know, give off, you know, hints already. But, you know, when I leave, you know, open up the box and see a treasure there, you know, she finally realizes that he was an imposter, and then she, you know, basically, her and her husband come to, you know, go to the door, basically asking, like, is there any way to be matter such a case? Like, you know, she was obviously, you know, duped. And basically, so ironically, you know, he basically, the Binyan Tzion, basically accepts the Ma'arik Sisod, but basically applies it a little differently. Because, right, at first glance,
another.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. Right, basically, because at first glance, if you look at the Ma'arik's application of his yisod of merit against the Baal, even in the case of Esther, so this would be, or seem to be the same thing. This seems to be also a form of Hatzalah's Klal Yisrael, where, you know, and if the Ma'arik, you know, applies his merit in that case of Hatzalah's Klal Yisrael, presumably this would be the same. Basically, what, you know, the Binyan Tzion basically accepts the Ma'arik's Klal. That's all about merit against the husband, but basically he argues on that application of the Ma'arik, and therefore claims, in a case where the, you know, the Maisa Bia is being done basically for the purposes of, let's say, Hatzalah's Klal Yisrael, and for sure if the husband were there, he would suggest in the case of Mordechai, then in such a case that's not considered a merit against the husband. But he says, so how does he explain the case of, you know, Esther, you know, the case of Esther, the Kasher Avadati Avadati, that clearly was the Isser. So he has a very, you know, Mechudosh, I don't read this inside in a moment, where Binyan Tzion says, oh, the only reason why there was Kasher Avadati Avadati, where the Isser Labal was triggered in that case, is because it was a suffix at that point. It wasn't clear whether this was needed in order to be Matzah Klal Yisrael. So he reads it into the Pesukim, where, you know, where basically Mordechai tells Esther, even if you don't, you know, join in the plan, you Revach Vatzalah, you know, Yamim Malkum Acher, says, oh, so it must be that at the time, it was a suffix. Maybe, you know, the fact of Hatzalah's Klal Yisrael didn't require her to do that. So therefore, you know, if the only matir, so he says, enechanami, if there really is a tzalos klal yisrael, b'toras vaday, then that would matir the israel baal, b'chiyai gavna, there's no merit. But in this case, there was only b'safek, so he says, safek b'koach nefesh, you go ahead with this, but b'di'eved, he's going to say, and then there's a safek israel baal. And then he points out the story that later on, where it was realized that was the only way to do it, therefore enechanami, Esther became muteres, to Mordechai. So again, the Binyan Sion basically embraces the Ma'arik Yisod, that's all about merit against the Baal, but he argues on the Ma'arik's application and says, if there's a case where the Isha is doing it solely L'shem Hatzalas Klal Yisrael, so then, and again, we're in a case where the Baal agrees, there's no merit against the institution, you know, of marriage, there's no merit against the husband, and therefore it's going to be Muteris. Let's just, do we have time to... Let's try to read it quickly because it's fascinating to see.
The
Binyan Sion, not the whole thing. So, if anyone, do you see it? Can I go before it? Starting with Lanias Daiti, basically five lines up. Yeshul Hashiv, Lanias Daiti. Yeah, over here. Lanias Daiti is basically five lines on the bottom of the page. Fourth word in the line. Lanias Daiti, Yeshul Hashiv.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lanias Daiti, Yeshul Hashiv, on the end. That's far as my rick far gedolig. The gam in Romala Bashem Rakshamala Mubaila Asura. Then his deity lo shaya ze rak bezinza berotza. Then his cabinal hanasa. Elash lo yoda she isru. She mikomako his cabinal limo bebaila. And while the zinza lishin mitzva, she kavanasa rak lishim shemayim, eh he korize shemala bebaila. The yoser yik shagabi mortify. She will be ats mutsibala, love all the melech, egg and ritzona.
So we're going to skip a couple of lines to the second page. On the third page, see the second line, the second word in the line is Ulachin, and here Lanias Daiti.
Ulachin, I hear Lanias Daiti. The aim of Vandai Hayezet, Sorech, Latzalos Israel, aim of Khanus Gadol Mizet. Have a Kfia near me to bring Mordechai, who be Antsmo and Mesupak Bizet. Shamar, Nahresh, Nahresh, Boy Sazos, Kois,
Rebbe, Rebbe,
Latzal, Yaman, Yehudim, Yvakamacher, the Gomes. Mi udem leiz kazeus to gather mountains. Kavanis dvar. Shai boteh pashem. Shish lo chatzol Yisrael. Rakhein mesubok im malkom acher. Amai de esther. Kon shomar. Mi udea im lo higat the malchus. Rak the vakor chatzol Yisrael. Moshe peirz ibn Ezra. Lachein mitzad esther ish as ish. Afal pisha hayas sotek. Mekomokom haya mutr. Dal sabi nefoshos. Gam kein mechalim. Afilu shantz. Al shetia achar kak mutaris de baila. Zeh havei sotek esther.
We'll stop there. So again, he's very, you know, again, he basically agrees to the Yisod of Ma'arik, that's the basis of the Yisod Lepal is the merit, but again, argues on the application because he thinks that in a case where it's completely Shem Shemayim, that's going to be Kaveh. Again, an assumption of his pshat in the Esther case is that, right, if you think it's all about the merit against your husband, right? And you think that Mokom, when you're doing it L'shem Atzalas Klal Yisrael, that's not considered merit. So then, even if it objectively it is a suffix, whether it was needed, the fact that in the mind of Esther, she was doing it L'shem Atzalas Klal Yisrael, right, you would say, no, L'shitas the Binyan Sion, that shouldn't be a case. You know what I'm saying? Basically, Imkvar Azkvar. According to the Binyan Sion, that you think that there's no merit against your husband when you're doing L'shem Atzalas Klal Yisrael, then if you apply that to the case of Esther, even, right, he's trying to apply, oh, why is that an exception? Because objectively, you know, it could be, it wasn't needed. But, l'shita so, if the koveya is all about merit, so the intention should be the koveya, not objectively. So therefore, it's a little hard to understand his pshat in Esther, because since from her standpoint, she was doing it l'shem atzalas klal Yisrael, and you think that l'shem atzalas klal Yisrael is not a merit, so therefore, really, it shouldn't apply. That's just the kasha. But at the end of the day, he's accepting, you know, the Yisod. Let's just do one more thing. We're running out of time. Right, so we saw the Ma'arik and the Binyan Sion clearly accepting this Yisod, that the Koveh of the Yisod Lebal is all about the merit. So a third, you know, prominent, you know, Mefarish, who accepts this, is the Or Sameach. In a completely different context, the Or Sameach, in Hilchos Yisuri Biya, Perek Gimel, Halacha Beis, again, accepts this Yisod of the Ma'arik, and says, therefore, in the case of a Ketana, right, a Ketana who is Zinsa. So again, from is back to like the Ma'arik's original case. So even though from the perspective of Isser, you know, because she's a Ketana, she doesn't have Das, therefore there's no Isser, but since the Koveh, again, is not Mal Ba'ashem, but rather Mal against her husband, therefore, even so, the Isser, Isser Labal is going to be triggered by a Ketana. So again, Or Sameach takes this Yisod, and again, since the Koveh is the merit against your husband, even in a case where there's no merit against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Bechia Gavna, you know, she's a Ketana, there's no Das, there's no formal Isser, even so, there's going to be a merit. So again, all these Mikoros are suggesting that, you know, there's a lot of evidence in this regard, that the Koveh of the Isser Labal is the merit. So in that light, you can now, you know, turn back to Rabbeinu Tam and defend Rabbeinu Tam and explain the Shita's defense of Rabbeinu Tam. That even though, right, even though from the perspective of an old technical Maisabia, right, there is no Maisabia when it comes to Bias Akum, but yet, you find all these Makoros which suggest that even though Bias Akum, Lo Shmei Bia, perhaps, right, even so, Bias Akum will trigger an Isser Labal, because again, based on all these Makoros, the Koveh for Isser Labal is the merit. Again, the reason why all these Makoros are not direct, right, because they're all talking about cases where you have Maisei Bia. So again, this is an extension of it, right? All the Makoros are saying you have Maisei Bia, and the question of other factors are missing, right? And so you could have said, based on the Ma'arik, Binyan Tzion, the Orsamath, you need a Maisei Bia plus merit. The Chiddush of this application, of this understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, is that no, the merit alone, even without the Maisei Bia. So it's just important to know that, you know, these aren't a direct, you know, Raya to Rabbeinu Tam, the understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, but again, along the same lines, that once you find that the a significant koveya for this labal is merit, is the merit against the baal, you can then, you know, take it one step further for Rabbeinu Tam and therefore that's the lone koveya will even exist shelo b'makom, you know, a maisa bia. The last thing, and then I'll take questions. Right. So far we discussed, you know, the application of Bias Akum to Gila Rayos, to Isser Labal, Isser Labal. Now we have to see its impact on the Isser Sota. Right? In the case of, you know, Kinoi and Stira, when Isha becomes, you know, a Sura, her to Rabal Mishum Isser Sota based on a Kinoi and a Stira. So the reason why this comes up, because you look very carefully, one of Tosas's Rayas against Rabbeinu Tam is the Gemara in Sota Chavav Mves, where the Gemara says that since Lamaskana we hold that they're basically your Mekanin Ali Degoy, there is Kinoi and Stira through a guy, meaning you can, you know, generate an Isser Sota, you know, through a guy by saying, oh, don't be, you know, Nistira with such a guy, and if she goes ahead and she is, then there will be an Isser Sota. They say, oh, look, if there's an Isser Sota by a guy, so that clearly undermines their whole Yisod of Bias Akum Lo Shmei Bia, because they're assuming, you know, why in the world would you have an Isser Sota if that would never, you know, end up resulting in the, you know, formal Isser of Gila Rayas. But again, along the lines that we've been developing, the Beis HaLevi, which I have photocopied here, in, you know, Chelak Tshuva, or Tshuva's Beis HaLevi, Chelak Beis, Simen Mem, Oz Hey, develops along the lines that we've been saying, that the Koveya, and he's specifically talking about the context of the Isser Sota, that the Koveya for the Isser Sota is not a technical Maisa Bia, but rather is what he calls a Kpeda Deba. Right? This all comes from the Gemara in Sota, which again has a havamina to extend kinue and stira, which calls aliyadei derech avon, right, where you basically warn the wife not to be touching another man in a certain inappropriate way, but outside the realm of bia. And the havamina, which is rejected, but basically it says what that havamina tells us, that the yisod of the isser sota of kinue and stira is not about a maisa bia, but it's rather based on a merit. So the Havamina says, oh, once you have this idea of merit, merit even extends to Derech Evarim. So the Maskana said, no, that doesn't suffice. You know, draw the line somewhere else. But according to the Beis HaLevi, the Yisod remains that the basically Mechayev of the Isser Sota is the merit, what he calls the Kpeda, the Baal, utilizing the Lashon of the Gemara. So he says, therefore, you can then take that Yisod to explain Rabbeinu Tam. The reason why Rabbeinu Tam will admit that there's an Isser Sota Al Yidei Goy, even though there's no formal Isser of Gila Rayos, even though there might not be, even be an a formal Maisa Bia with a Goy. Because the idea is the Koveya for the Isser Sota is this idea of Kepet Dabal, this idea of merit. It's important to note that the Beis HaLevi here is actually even being Mechalik between the Isser Labal and the Isser Sota. If you look very carefully, you know, Beis HaLevi, you know, is Medayak and Sermon Rishon say that in the case of Mishamish, the Eber HaMeis would not trigger an Isser Labal, but would trigger an Isser Sota. So the way he says it is that no, this Yisod of merit is limited to the Isser Sota. So we're saying before that perhaps you can even say this idea of Kepet Dabal, this idea of merit, even for the Isser Labal.
If she'll drink the water.
What about?
And so that on the Eber HaMeis, she'll die.
Presumably. What about this? Yeah.
Well,
I guess we're basically defining nitzma in terms of a broader merit.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. So I guess it's 1:30, so we'll stop here, but I'll take any questions on the way or after mincha.